You're going to turn to that old book of Leviticus this evening. Leviticus chapter 23, please. We'll read a few verses here, and then just a little farther along, we'll read a little more from Leviticus, but beginning with Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 26. Leviticus 23, verse 26. In this chapter, the various feasts of the nation are given, and we are going to the verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month, at even, from even unto even, that is to the even of the 10th day, from the 9th day, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the moment, and I trust that God will help us as we come to His Word. Let us pray. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. Oh God, we are glad for the wonder of redeeming grace. Lord, we thank Thee for the privilege tonight to consider something of this Day of Atonement. Oh, that Thou wouldst make it profitable to our souls. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt strengthen our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt bless our lives. We pray that Thou wilt make us mighty to do exploits for Thee. So strengthen us with strength in our souls. O Spirit of God, take up Thy Word and reveal to us the glories of the Lamb of God. We pray in Jesus' all-prevailing name. Amen. Amen. Of all of Israel's feasts, the Day of Atonement reveals to us the fullest glories, more of the fullness of the glories of Christ's work for us as our great high priest and as our sacrifice. I think so even more than the other great feasts and even those wonderful offerings that we read about in Leviticus. I have been stunned with a holy amazement at the wonders of God's grace as I've studied the Day of Atonement this week. I have been reading through the book of Leviticus, and I have been delighted in reading and meditating upon Christ's glories in this feast. I trust that the Lord will help us to look with awe and wonder at the Day of Atonement for just a little time this evening. The subject is so vast, I wondered if I was even going to make it to church tonight, because I was having a hard time stopping. But that doesn't mean the message is going to be long. But I was just so taken up with this wonderful subject. The subject is so vast that we must limit ourselves to only three little themes within the Day of Atonement. So here they are. The day itself. Then the high priest. And finally, the sacrifices. The day itself, we look at first of all. If you notice verse 27, also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. In the Hebrew, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. These numbers are most interesting. The 10th day of the seventh month. Both numbers, 10 and 7, signify completeness in the highest sense. Even the numbers clearly point to the work of Christ for us that is absolutely perfect, that is absolutely complete. For 7, you know, is the number of perfection. 10 is also a number of completion, for it is 10 commandments that God has given to us, revealing our complete duty as commanded by God. So Christ has himself declared that his work is full and complete. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." And Paul said the same in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, that the work of Christ was done once for all, never to be repeated. The eternal accomplishment of redemption has been completed by Christ's perfect sacrifice. By his one sacrifice for sins forever, Christ has made an end of sins for his people and has brought in everlasting righteousness. Daniel 9:24. The Day of Atonement was not only wonderful in the date, but it was most wonderful in the activity of the Israelite, just the normal Israelite. That day was to be spent especially in three ways. And I believe these three things that the Israelite did on the Day of Atonement is what we are called to do here tonight. First of all, it was to be the celebration of a Sabbath. If you notice verse 32, "It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest." The Hebrew actually says a Sabbath of Sabbaths. There was to be absolutely no work done by anyone in the nation except the high priest for the 24-hour period of that feast, from even to even. This was to teach a total cessation of our own works, that we would place a total dependence on the work of our great high priest alone. That work that he does accomplishes atonement for all our sins and even for all our corrupting good works. For all that we could add in any way to what the high priest, our great high priest, has done is just filthy rags. Because the best that we can muster is our righteousnesses. And in God's sight, without being washed in the precious blood of Jesus, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags, corrupting rags. Nothing whatsoever from anyone was to be added to the atoning work of the great high priest. If you notice verses 30 and 31, there is an explanation of this. To do such would be spiritually fatal in verse 30. "And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work, in that same day the same soul will I destroy from among his people." And such rejection of one's own work for atonement for sin must be a perpetual practice. For verse 31 says, ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. We must never change this position. We must completely separate ourselves from any dependence upon anything that we could possibly say, think, or do for our atoning, for our redemption. This day was not only to be spent as a Sabbath by the Israelites, it was to be celebrated and spent as a feast day. There was to be great rejoicing in the soul because atonement is accomplished for us by another person. It is all the work of another. And it is simply our enjoying and rejoicing in that glorious work of atonement. So the day was to be spent as a Sabbath. It was to be spent as a feast. But it was also to be spent as a fast. If you notice verse 27, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your soul. Afflict your souls. And then down verse 29, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. When you read that language in the Old Testament of afflicting the soul, it includes with it fasting, a feeling of deep contrition, sorrow for our sins, with repentance from them, and hatred toward those sins. This includes renouncing all our own righteous works as well, that we place absolutely no dependence on them. Romans 4:5, and this is my translation. To him that worketh not, but believeth on Christ that justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. The Day of Atonement was the most momentous day in Israel's calendar. Even so, the fulfillment of it in Christ was the most terrible day of his humiliation. In creation, God made man like himself. But in redemption, God made himself like man. By atonement, praise God, he covered everything with the shed blood that hindered his people's approach to him. By this atonement, God covered everything with the shed blood that could possibly hinder our approach to God. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 9 and 10 tell us one last thing about the day itself. It tells us there that the day of Jubilee always began with a trumpet blast on the Day of Atonement. And I tell you that because of the great work of atonement that our great high priest has finished, we have a full release. We have the most wonderful freedom. We have true liberty and a holy freedom that only comes because of the atoning work of Christ applied to our hearts and our lives by the Holy Spirit. So I tell you, the Day of Atonement is a most wonderful day itself. I want to consider with you the second place, the high priest, and even the activity of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, no other priest was allowed to partake or even help in the services of the temple or the tabernacle. It was all on the high priest. The high priest had to go and he had to wash himself in a special container that had been, the water had been taken out of the laver and put in this special container. He was to wash himself more than once that day. And he washed himself even early in that day. And no lesser priests were involved. So only Christ can atone for us. No other priest has a part in that atonement. Only Christ. Hebrew tradition said that 7 days before the Day of Atonement, the high priest left his normal home and dwelt close to the place of sacrifice. Even so, Jesus, you remember, in his last week before the cross, stayed at night. He stayed very close to Jerusalem and very close to the place of sacrifice all during that final week, even fulfilling what was the normal practice of the Hebrew priest. The Jewish high priest always ate a light meal on the evening before the Day of Atonement and spent the night without sleep. And there were others who gathered around him to make sure that he wasn't sleeping. He spent the night communing with God, pondering over, meditating on God's Word, praying to the Lord. Even so, Jesus Christ had that memorial of that celebration of the Passover and the Last Supper with His disciples. And He spent His last night before His atoning sacrifice without any sleep. But He didn't have any help from His disciples. Instead of helping Him and watching with Him even an hour, they were sleeping. Well, the high priest entered into the holiest of all with atoning blood only on the Day of Atonement each year. But Christ, our great high priest, entered only once forever with His own blood into that glorious sanctuary. While the sacrifice burned on the altar of burnt offering, the high priest offered incense before the veil and even within the veil that one time a year. Incense and blood. But while the sacrifice burned, there was the offering up of the incense. And it was fulfilled by Christ as His body and His soul were suffering in the fires of God's judicial wrath against sin. What did He do? He made intercession. He prayed for us. And thus we are forgiven. At last, when the high priest came out of the sanctuary, God's people were relieved and they rejoiced because their sins had been atoned for. Atonement had been made. And what is this? Atonement. It's sometimes broken down at one-ment. Atonement. At one-ment. It is God and man brought together in one. And how can it be? God and man can only be brought into one, at one, by Christ alone and in Christ alone. In Christ alone, we are reconciled to God in the atonement. Hallelujah. Now we must turn back to Leviticus chapter 16 for the sacrifices. There was more than one sacrifice made on the Day of Atonement. Sacrifices were made for the priest, and then the sacrifices were made for the people. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 3, "Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of the burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Now there he is. Once a year, the high priest alone was allowed within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. He shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man. That's very interesting. A fit man. A man of opportunity into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. If you remember the reading here, there have been two rams, two goats, and a bullock that have been brought all together. Five sacrificial victims. Five is the number of grace. And oh, what grace that blood is shed for my sin. Yet not my blood, but vicarious substitutionary blood, sin atoning blood. I think that the scapegoat is a most interesting part of the Day of the Atonement. The high priest would lay his hands upon the head of the goat, transferring the awful weight of guilt of the people, of all of God's people, upon that young victim. These were kids of the goat, you remember, young. And then verse 21 says, a fit man, meaning a stranger or a Gentile in Israel, would lead the goat away, picturing what would happen so much later when Christ would be taken by his own people, even by the priests of his nation, and turned over to the Gentiles to be led away to die. Into the wilderness, the innocent victim was led, there to bear the sins of the people away, bearing those sins away. There the poor victim was loosed. And the inevitable was that in the wilderness, where there were wild beasts, there the poor victim would die being torn by those vicious, howling wild beasts. There where no sympathetic ears could hear the helpless cries. Nothing and no one to hear the echoes and the cries. None but the barren rocks. The darkness of the night closed on the Day of Atonement. For that was the last thing that was done, was the taking of the scapegoat into the wilderness. The day was over. And the Day of Atonement was over for Christ, the innocent victim, our sacrifice, who has borne our sins away. And what did our Savior do? He died alone for you and me, with none to hear His cries, but beastly sinners with hearts as hard as stone. Oh, what a wonder that He did this wonderful work of atonement for you and me. Let us rejoice and be glad, and let us worship Him with all our hearts.